Good morning, everybody. It's great, 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 great to be here. I have the enormous privilege to speak in lots of places, lots of settings, but there's always a challenge when you come home. There's those of you who know me really well from when I was some chaddo. There's some of you know me when I used to stutter, and some of you don't even know me at all, but I'm Derbyshire born, Derbyshire bred, strong in arm and thick in head, and I'm down to pray for Derby County. I've been to the old, no I've not, but you know, you won't get someone from Leeds. I know you're Sheffield, but he came from Leeds. I mean, anyone knows the history of Derby County and Leeds. It goes way, way back. Anyway, this week I came prepared to talk on the subject of hope. H-O-P-E. I'd got it all prepared until Monday. And then I kept getting a question in my head. And all through the week, to the point that yesterday I came to the men's breakfast and had a great time there. And thank you for Brother Moses, wherever, I don't know whether he's here. Great, is he there somewhere? Brother Moses very kindly paid for my breakfast, and wonderful man of God, obviously the next pastor here, and had a great time. But then I sat down, Margaret went out to see her friend, and I sat down and I just began to put some thoughts together. Now, for those that know me, I'm not normally a last minute sort of put thoughts together person, but it was in response to the question. And when we saw the video there at Alpha talking about questions, you know, God uses questions in the Bible. And if you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to read. I know nowadays they put them on the screen behind you probably. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, and for the sake of time, I'm only going to read a few verses with all the things that go on. We try to keep things as succinct as possible. But to put this into context, chapter 18 is Elijah's greatest moment. If Elijah wanted you, anyone to preach on anything he ever did, he'd want you to preach on 1 Kings 18. Because that's Carmel. That's where he takes on the bad guys, and he's the John Wayne of the testimonies. Get off your horse and drink your milk, and he stands there surrounded by all the baddies. And then finally he says, right, the God who answers by fire, he's the real God. And they're cutting themselves and he's taking the rip out of them, saying, where's your God? Maybe he's gone to the toilet. And it's just absolutely amazing. Fire comes, consumes them. And I am sure he'd have wanted to go to heaven after chapter 18. I'm sure when he got to heaven, he might have said to God, do we have to have chapter 19? Could we just miss that bit? Because, you know, life is a series of great things and bad things, then an awful lot of just normal. And when you look at a life, you tend to highlight the weddings, the births, the great occasions, and then you get to the sadder parts. And in chapter 19, he goes from Carmel and he heads up in a cave. And he's hiding for his life. And you think, why on earth is this man who stood so strong and he was in the prime of life, he was at his absolute best, he's skulking and hiding from a woman. But she had an interesting name, Jezebel. And he gets so down, he goes from the man of faith and belief to actually praying under a tree, have had enough. I don't know about you, but this last 18 months, I've had enough. I've had enough of mass. I've had enough of people dying. I've had enough of pain. I've had enough. But his prayer, his last prayer was, God, send fire. His next prayer is, God, I want to die. And so he goes into a cave. And along the way, God ministers to his heart and he gets some rest and he gets some sleep. And then God says, it's time for a question. And so here's the question. In verse 9 of chapter 19, which we're going to read four verses. And you always, well, I think it's always interesting to, if God asks you a question, it's worth listening. If God asks you the same question twice, he's really trying to get your attention. And I think with all the stuff that's happening at the moment, I think God's trying to get our attention amongst all of this stuff. And here's the question, and this was what was going through my mind almost every day whenever I thought about coming to the church. We've been around Derby, I've seen some old friends, saw Dave Campbell, saw some people that from the past, and but whenever I thought about this morning, this was what the phrase was in my mind. And so I've changed what I'm going to say, and it's this in verse 9. Then he hid, came to a cave and he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" And Elijah responds, "I've been very zealously serving the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel has broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed every one of your prophets, and I'm alone and left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain," the Lord told him. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountains. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was a sound of a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and he went out and he stood at the entrance of the cave, and a voice said to him, "What are you doing here?" God still asked him the same question. He's been asking that question for thousands of years. And when you come back home, you just start to have memories. It's so great to see John and Sandra here. We work together. I was in the back room there. John got this room and Gordon got the posh room down here and there. And I can remember at night time, whenever John was around, you got to be careful. He'd pinch your bottom. He'd hide in the seats. And you'd walk past him, you're going out to lock the doors, and he'd jump out and just nip your bottom. No wonder he didn't last. He'd been in jail for 10 years. And he's just being re-acclimatized to society now. No, he's not. Great to see you, Guy. Memories. But I remember when I was a teenager, I hadn't got the confidence that I have today. And when I was a young person, I was racked with lots of things that were not good in my life. And I've got to tell you, I was more familiar with caves than I were with Carmel. I was more familiar with life living in a cave than I was living in any kind of mountaintop existence. Grew up in Chaddo, down Main Drive, part of a group of a gang called the Main Drive Mob, and just grew up there. And my dad had mental health issues, and so we grew up in a house that was full of anxiety, full of fear, such that I developed a speech impediment and used to stutter, and fear was the major denominator of my life. I was frightened at school, didn't do well at school. I would never ask a question because I was afraid to lift my hand because I thought people would laugh at me, and or I would begin to stutter. And I was just, even the doctor said to my mother, when I was about 14, "Mrs. Pete, your son will probably never hold a job down because he's starting to show some of the nervous anxiety traits of his father." And I'm sat there while they're saying this. Stinkeroony. And folks, I asked myself that question that God asked Elijah. What am I doing here? I wasn't enjoying life. I wasn't attractive to girls. I was convinced I was going to have the involuntary gift of celibacy because every girl laughed at me because I stuttered and stammered and I was so uncomfortable. I'd got two brothers. I didn't quite know how to work around girls. And life, for me, it just seemed tough. And I thought, what on earth am I doing here? There must be more to life than this. If this is the best it is, when it's not very good. And I want to tell you, I know what it's like to head to a cave. And I just wondered in my heart that when God put this question on my mind and spirit for you, this guys, I'm asking you the question this morning, rhetorically, what are you doing here? Now, the obvious question is, you're listening to a George Clooney lookalike in church. No, you're not. I'm not just talking about where you are in the moment. I'm talking about where are you in this journey, this thing called life. And I've got to tell you, the last 15, 18 months have been tough for us. I have lost three of my pastors who have died well before their time. Last Sunday, I was in Silverdale doing the memorial to a 52-year-old pastor who died of AIDS who died of COVID a year ago, right at the start of all of this. And I've still got a text on my phone where his opening remarks are, "I hope you and Margaret are well. By the way, I'm not feeling very well. Will you pray for me?" And within 8 days, he was dead. I've got to tell you, 6 weeks ago, I took the funeral of a 37-year-old pastor from Greenock who was part of our church in Glasgow. His wife came when she was four. We baptized them. We married them. We sent them into the ministry. We dedicated their two children. And he, within 6 weeks, they diagnosed a very rare form of cancer, and he was dead. I want to tell you, I have felt some of the feelings of wanting to hide away a bit because I stand every week saying this life is wonderful, but life can be really tough. And how we work it, I use the phrase as a Christian, do we trust him when we can't trace him? And it's easy to follow God when you can trace what he's doing, but there are things that happen that are so left field. And this guy goes from hero to zero, hiding away, wanting to die. And I don't know this morning whether anyone is here is honest enough to be real and say, you know what, sometimes a cave has been pretty attractive in the last 18 months. I felt insecure. I felt confused. Take a step back. And I say this, and I promised the Lord I'd say this every week. I'm looking now to the Live Link. Can I say this with all the love in my heart? I thank God for Live Link. I thank God for Zoom, even though when it came out, I hadn't got a clue how to work it. For those my age, Zoom was an ice lolly, remember? We used to get it from the shop, about threepence. And used to suck it, it changed colours. It was avant-garde ice cream. Thank God for all of this stuff. It's marvelous. But can I tell you, nothing beats meeting together in church. And guys, as soon as you can, as soon as it's comfortable, as soon as it's safe, get back, won't you? Because the devil's tactics are isolate, annihilate. He's done it for all my Christian life. And it's not good not to be alone. Coffee church or pajama church, it's nice. It's been good for a season. But I want to tell you as soon as you can. Anyway, that's nothing to do with the sermon. That's just grumpy old Kevin. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? I wonder whether you're in a cave today and, you know, just behind the surface, you're really angry because some bad stuff has happened. You've lost a marriage. You've lost a relationship. You've lost something. And it seems so unfair. And you're so angry at maybe even at this God you don't even believe in. But you're angry. You've got to be angry at somebody. I know we live in a blame culture. After 42 years of being married to the nearly perfect Margaret Pete, she'll tell you anything goes wrong, it's her fault. I have this wonderful ability, if we get lost in the car, it's Margaret's fault. Blame everybody but yourself. I wonder whether you're in a cave of rejection, you lost the job, and somebody who's not as good as you has got the job. It's just not fair. Why aren't you in the worship team? Well, you've not got a beard like Robert, like a pirate. I promise the Lord, next time I'm come, I'm bringing a pair of shears, Rob. And do not come near me because people my age, we just get this, just want to cut it off. I'm sorry. It's one of those things. It may be hip and cool, but it's not. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just, like I was trying to say, I felt a bit overwhelmed with sadness. we and Margaret have had to hold a 34-year-old woman who's lost her husband, and she stood on the funeral. Let me tell you, at the funeral, she stood and gave a tribute to her husband for 5 minutes in front of 300 people. Amazing. But she's heartbroken. And questions. Why? What? Who? When? How can this be? Because I need to tell you, I love God with all my heart. But you need to know, if anyone tells you that being a Christian means you'll never have another problem, it's a fib. It's not true. We've got to be real. But what we have someone to help us through the stormy issues. And Elijah had God's help in all of this. God helped Elijah. He baked him some bread. He gave him water. He gave him rest. I want to tell you, God has helped me. I'm standing here today fairly confident. I'm standing here with God's strength, and God's taken, and he's given me a living for 40 years nearly in the ministry, and I couldn't put two words together. And God has turned my life around. And when I've been racked with fear and anxiety, he's always helped me out of a cave. He's always encouraged me to say, come on, Kevin. Come on, let's go again. Let's go another mile. Let's go along the way. And I want to tell you guys today, God can help you. The Lord Jesus Christ can help you. He came to die. Elijah was invited to come out. I always think of that Mike Sarn song. Really culturally relevant, 1961. Mike Sarn, come outside. There's a lovely moon out here. Who can remember that other than Neil and Pat? And Mick. Mike Sarn was a singer-songwriter when words meant something. Okay, it's a long time ago before today's and they call that music. God help us. You can't dance to that. I could dance to that. Anyway, come outside. There's a lovely moon out here. He's hiding away in a cave. He's disappointed. He's feeling rejected. He's feeling scared. And God says, what are you doing here? Come on. Come outside. God's about to pass by. Can I tell you, not just this morning, but every day, and particularly in this season of when Alpha starts, God is going to pass by and to give you all an opportunity to ask you questions, to hopefully come to a decision for Jesus. I prayed just there that God, would your presence fill this place? I gave Rob 3 minutes to bring the anointing, and he failed badly. So, he did. Can I just tell you, one of the great things about coming home is when I look at Rob and I pull his leg, but I remember when he was about six in the junior choir. Bless him. And Auntie Mabel was despairing because he wouldn't behave himself. And you see him now, worship leader, married, kids, an elder of the church. It does your heart great to see when you put your trust in God, what can happen in your life. And so I pick on Rob every week. We have this little joke every time I come here. So give him a round of applause. He's a great guy. You know, I want to recommend to you today, and all I can do is recommend, I can't make anybody, that you really consider the question, what are you doing here? I called this sermon Out into the Sunlight. And I spelt sunlight S-O-N, not S-U-N. Out into the sunlight. Because not only is there a lovely moon out here, there is this awesome presence of God that will help us all accomplish a purpose in our life. And you'll find a purpose and a direction that's amazing. But anyway, just very quickly, I've got two things to say about this passage particularly. Two things that I think are ways that I would encourage you. How do you get out of a cave? It's all right you saying come out, but if you're feeling anxious, you're feeling nervous, and someone saying come outside, what is it that can going to be help you? And what encourages me is this about some of the Bible characters. When I first got to know the Bible, I used to think these people are all perfect. But you know, here's Elijah. He's running away from a woman. And the two things I'm about to tell you, he got them both wrong. Yet he still went on to fulfill his destiny. Such is God's grace And so sometimes when you think, I could never match up to any of those people, trust me, it's not you, it's him that equips, it's him that is redeeming, it's him that gives you the strength, it's him that gives you the abilities to do the things that you do. To me, it's a no-brainer, but I'm the other side of the cave, so I understand sometimes where we are asking the questions. Sunlight of sonship. Two things, verse 10. I'd say this to you guys here in Derby. You know, we've got to be honest. He tries to fib to God. I mean, for someone who's everywhere, can see everything and knows everything, this is not the wisest move of his career. Trying to pull the wool. I'm the only one left. And twice, if I'd got time, I could unpack it longer. There is a long version of this. But twice he says, I'm the only one left. I've served you. And God says, oh, by the way, there's 10,000 prophets who are still out there. You're not the only one left. But you know, when you're in a cave, the poms hit you, don't they? The poms. The poor old me. You ever had an attack of the pom? No one understands. I've had three knee replacements. I've only had two knees. How can you have three knee replacements? And it's all people like Phil Shaw and Tracy that caused this. When they were courted, I spent so long praying for them on my knees that I've absolutely cream-crackered my knees in a life of prayer and intercession. But then it's worth it because I believe Phil's also an elder here. I believe, aren't you? Fantastic. Never thought it possible. I don't know. I always believed Tracy would, but my word, you were so heavy metal. I mean, I thought his brains had gone with status quo. Shake your brains too much. Sometimes, guys, sometimes we try to fib to God. Sometimes, have you ever tried to fib to your, those of you who are married, have you ever tried to fib to your wife? They've got a gift. Give up. My wife, so maybe don't marry someone who's got a prophetic gift if you want to tell fibs. Just because she has a look. Have you eaten chocolate? No, I've not eaten any chocolate. Yes, you have. I haven't. I've not had any chocolate. Yes, you have. You know, sometimes you can try to fib to your colleagues at work, and you can try the macho, brave sort of, you know what us guys are sometimes like. You hit me, it doesn't hurt. You know, I remember when I used to play football on Darley Field, and someone like Win Owen, bless him, used to. He, when I played for the good team, the Brethren, and he played for you Pentecostals, we was vicious. I remember I once went into the changing room and gave Win a can of dog meat. And said, Win, you play like a dog, you might as well eat like one. I was always subtle. And he kicked me in the first minute. But you know, when you're a guy, you jump up. Is that the best you've got? You feel like you're dead, but you can't admit it. You know, you just don't show it. And then you go home and you say to you, well, my leg, my ankle, my knee. Sometimes you try to fib to other people. Sometimes you even try to convince yourself, I'm an island. I don't need God. I don't believe in God. Oh, be honest. Some people try to find the answer, sadly, through alcohol abuse, drug abuse, relationship abuse, and think that's the answer. If we can only do this, that will keep us whatever. But the truth is, I know for me, what got me out of my cave 51 years ago now was when I realized that I'd got to be honest, I wasn't enjoying this thing called life. There wasn't many laughs in Chad. There wasn't many laughs. Clothes were all secondhand clothes. We were very poor. I never saw the sea till I was 17 years of age. Never had a holiday because my dad was ill. And life was just always tough. And I thought, have I got another 50 years of this? What am I doing here? But I want to tell you, Now I'm 67. I have had the most brilliant, fantastic, marvelous, incredible journey with God. And it started by coming outside December the 7th, 1968. We'd been to a trip to Ascot Drive Fire Station in the Brethren. I was in a boys' club, and a man called Stuart Hinks preached the gospel like I'm trying to do very badly today. And I went home and I decided I'm going to give my life to Jesus. And I want to tell you, I never knew. Did I understand the Bible? No. Did I understand everything? No. But I knew enough to know I want to give a chance to this new way of living. And yes, even then people were saying dead was God. God was dead. Even then people were saying all the things that you hear today. Bottom line, nearly finished. I met God, he met me. He gave me a blessing. He gave me the best girl, gave me a beautiful wife. Second thing to get you out of the cave. One, you've got to be honest. We've got to start by saying, I need help. I need someone. Second thing, very quickly, is we've got to be decisive. You know, you can only think so long. And Andy was absolutely right. You can come and ask all your questions. But, I mean, I don't think it's going to spoil Alpha to say it's being put on to help you to hopefully reach a point when you'll make a decision. We'll still respect you if you don't. It's fine. But we've got to be decisive. And I just love it. God is about to pass by Derby Marketplace at 11:30. I tell you, Andy, service is yours. I'm off. And God's turning up. Elijah has got a promise. God's about to pass by, and God is saying, come outside. Is he moving? No. He's sat on his rock, and he ain't making a move. So God sends a wind. It says a mighty wind. And I think if I was in a cave, I might just be able to stay there in a bit of strong wind. But he's not moving. So God then sends an earthquake. Now I think inside a rocky cave is not a good place when an earthquake is on. I've been in an earthquake in New Zealand. And I preached in a church once where were we? Blenheim. And we had to preach in a hard hat. And no one was listening because they've all got on the earthquake thingy bobby on their app. And it's showing you all the time there's aftershocks. And it happened, and we were having a rest in the afternoon, and the house all shook. What do? You get outside. Is Elijah coming out? No. Stubborn fool. So, resist the wind, resist the earthquakes. Now, another thing. If suddenly the fire alarms went off, I think most people would join me heading for the door. Get outside. It's a fire. Fire hurts. Is he moving? No. 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 And God must sometimes look at us. How many signs do you want? How many things do you want to have to see before you'll make a decision? But God does one more thing. He gets very close to Elijah because it says it's a still small voice. So I don't think I'm reading into the passage too much. If to hear a whisper, love you. You know, you need romance. Remember that, John? Sometimes you need to whisper. I wonder what he whispered. You know, I've got some books by dead Germans that tell you what he may have whispered. I know what he didn't whisper. And I think Andy could concur because he knows Greek. I don't think he whispered, Elijah, you're a plonker. I don't think he whispered, Elijah, if you don't come outside, I'm going to smack your backside so hard you'll never sit down again. I don't think he said that. We're not told what he said, but whatever it was, it must have been so loving. It must have been so reassuring. It must have been so comforting. It must have been so personal that wind, earthquake, and fire didn't touch it. And you know what? I can't see some of you behind the masks. I can see one or two eyes are now praying for me. I hope, not sleeping. But I don't know. But you know, John, God knows your name. Kath, God knows your name. Rob, Phil, Tracy, Maureen, Trevor. Rob, Sally. Those of you, I don't know your names. He knows your names. And he knows what you need to hear in times of trouble. If you're wrestling through the latter stages of life and you've walked through bereavement and your body isn't working as it should, he knows your name to bring comfort. Don't worry. We'll get to the end. And guess what? When the end comes, it's the start. And you're going to go to heaven. I'm going to give you a new body. Anybody you want. I used to ask for Mel Gibson round about Braveheart time, but I don't know. He's gone to seed. Don't want his body anymore. I'm not going to have bad knees in heaven. You know, God knows your name, Edith. He knows Northern Irish names. He knows Jamaican names. He knows Nigerian names. He knows every name in the world. And he knows what you need. What are you doing here? Could you come outside? God wants to hold your hand. And all I can testify, I can't go into all the different reasons, but I need to tell you there's been times when things are really tough. And we've gone through bereavement and sadness and disappointment and brokenheartedness. He's always got hold of our hand and said, come on, Kev. Come on, Andy. Come on, Lisa. Come on, Margaret. It's going to be okay. Bottom line, last bit of notes. Don't want anybody else to leave. If it's three, I believe it's demonic. So just to keep you in your seat, unless your bladder's bad, then you must go. I always do before I preach. I've reached that age. Bottom line, it's your decision. When I said yes in 1968, did I understand everything? No. If you say yes today, have you got to understand everything? No. It's taking a step of faith. It's taking one single step to come outside the cave. And then God will help you on the journey. Alpha will help you on the journey. Millions have said yes, and millions have said no. But you've got to be decisive. You've got to make some decisions. When we left this church in 1990, did we want to go? No. But God called us to go to Scotland. And was it difficult? Yes. Was it the greatest years of our life? Yes. Because we made decisions. And I don't want to stay in a cave. Caves are okay for a season. But it's good to come out. Rob, would you come back under the keyboard? Would you mind? Give you a final chance to redeem yourself. While we pray, if anyone's got any scissors, that would just be so helpful. Just... While you've got your ice cut, I'm going to just snip over there and snip it. Just, oh, it's great to be here. Would you close your eyes with me, folks? You've listened so well. Forgive me if I've gone a minute or two over. Rob, would you just play some Come Out of Cave music? Just play something softly for me. That would be beautiful. God asked Elijah a question, what are you doing here? And I'm taking a bold move today to believe that I believe the same God who asked him that question is asking you that question. What are you doing here? Have you found your destiny and purpose in life, or are you still searching? And I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to ask a question to the Christians, and I'm going to ask a question to the people who may be here who are not Christians. And I think I'm going to ask the Christians first, if that's okay, because you're more familiar with church. What are you doing here? Have you retreated into a cave in your faith? Has COVID caused you to doubt? Has tragedies and traumas overtaken you and you thought, I can't take any more, I want to die? Or just maybe God's arranged for you to be here today to hear him ask you very gently in a still, not in a harsh word, but as a still, small, beautiful word. What are you doing here? Would you take my hand? And you know me well enough to know we can go the next journey together. And as our eyes are closed, I'm not wanting to embarrass anybody, but I can't talk about being decisive without really giving you a chance to make a decision. Now, I don't know where you are in your Christian walk, but I know sadness, disappointment, hurt makes you retreat. Well, God is gently saying, son, daughter, let's go again. If that's you, it's very hard to see. I normally get people just to look at me, but it's difficult because of the maths and things. So if you feel this morning God has spoken to you and you're saying, I need to get out of the cave and come outside and get hold of God's hand again. If that's you, would you just wave at me? And then put your hand down. God bless you. See you up there. See you here. See you. Well, hands all over the place. God bless you. God bless you. Just wait a moment longer. This is for Christians. And it's a moment of decision. Thank God. Anybody else? Thank you. I see you there. Anybody else? God bless you. See you there. God bless you. See you. Come outside. There's a lovely moon out here. Anybody else in that particular section? And finally, and maybe even more important this morning, there may be somebody here and it's the first faltering steps on your journey. And you maybe don't know what order the Bible is written in. You don't know the Greek words. You don't know all the stuff. But you need to know that Jesus died for you. And you need to receive him into your heart and come outside. If that's you, if the Christians have been brave enough, is there anybody here who doesn't know Jesus, and you're saying to me, Pastor Kevin, include me in your final prayer. I want Jesus. If that's you, would you wave your hand and I'll just see it and then put it down again. Just looking across the church, is there anybody? I haven't seen a hand. I'll just look once more. Can I encourage you to consider doing the Alpha course? If you've still got questions, come and share your questions. Truth is always the truth. And Father, I pray for this church that will always have a special place in Margaret and my heart, Lord. I learned so much as a rookie minister here. And people very kindly allowed me to preach to them when I certainly wasn't very good. And I pray for this church and I pray for those people who've responded. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, you don't have a stick or a fire. You've only got a still small voice that says, my son, my daughter, I love you. Come outside. I understand why you went into the cave. I'm not got a stick, but I'm just encouraging you. It's time to move on. It's time to get going again. It's time to move on in that journey of destiny, because I tell you something, life goes so quick. And I pray, Lord, that you'll seal your word now and bless this church. And I pray for Andy And Lisa, Lord, as they continue to lead this church, I hear such wonderful reports about them. And I just pray that you'll continue. I pray, Lord, that the doors will open to this jolly house. And not just their luggage will be there, but they'll be there. And whatever, Lord, probate is just a word, you can sort it out, Lord. And I pray that you will. And I pray, Lord, that they'll soon be in their Derby forever home. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.